are so wonderful and so powerful and infinite we cannot even begin to comprehend you. And yet you faithfully accept our meager offerings of praise and our sacrifices of our small lives, and you make them great and you make us holy. Jesus, thank you for becoming one of us. Thank you for showing us what it means to live a truly real life that is purposeful, influential, and full of love. Continue to teach us today in the same real and vibrant way you did thousands of years ago. We love you so much, Lord. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to the first student chapel of the year. For those of you who are new or just didn't know, we have 6 student chapels every year, 3 each semester. And everything about these chapels is completely student-led. We have a student chapel committee who meet about once a week to just discuss ideas for chapel and worship leaders and speakers and so on. If you're like me, you love student chapel. We all look forward to it. We're excited when we find out that today is a student chapel day. And I was wondering why that is and why we look forward to it so much more than any other chapel. And I was just beginning to discover that we get to see each other around campus all the time, whether it's in class or playing intramurals with each other or, you know, eating in the cafeteria. But unless you're really close friends with someone or maybe on their hall, we rarely get to see what's inside of each other's hearts. And I think that's why we love this chapel so much, is just because the people that we live with and we're around every day, we really get to see a glimpse into that, whether it's through worship or whether it's through them speaking. Unlike past chapels, our student chapels, this year we don't have a specific theme or a topic. We didn't want to hold anybody back by giving them that, but nobody's going to be preaching to us or instructing us. It's just going to be some of our friends who are in the exact same stage of life as we are, just sharing about how God has been changing and forming their hearts. These are going to be real life stories in correlation with the overall chapel theme of the year. And all that we ask is that the speakers would somehow relate their testimonies to a character in one of the 4 Gospels. Whenever I read the Gospels, it's so incredible for me to see the way that God has just works and the way that Jesus used his life to just completely change the lives of others. But what's more incredible to me is just the way that thousands of years later, he's doing the exact same thing, and we're still just being radically changed by him. So we are privileged to have 2 of our seniors share with us today. Timothy Parker, who most of us know as Bama, is from Boundville, Alabama. He's the RLC of trustees and the most chivalrous guy any of us have ever met. I sensed Bama's heart for the Lord and his desire to follow after him within the very first hour that I met him almost 5 years ago. He has an incredible heart for the Lord. Our other speaker today is Brittany Polis, and I just thought I'd mention that all 3 of our speakers today are from the South. Her home is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Brittany is a dear friend, and she's one of the sweetest and most caring people that you will ever meet. Her love for the Lord and her excitement for what he's doing in her life is just contagious. I'm so excited to see how the Lord is going to use them this morning. Will you please welcome them with me?
This is my first time that I have ever been up here, and I did not realize how many of you that there were. And, yeah, I'm just going to be real honest. The whole picturing the audience in their underwear thing is not working so well right now. In preparing for today, I've had constant butterflies in my stomach, a great excitement and a joy that I know only comes from the Lord. I kept thinking about how I want to get up here and say something funny that will make you laugh, or say something that will make you like me, or say something that you'll agree with and not be quick to shut me out. But you know what? This is not about me. Our student chapel services give us the great chance to come together as a campus and celebrate what God is doing in our life. Yes, he has done great things in the past, and those things are what have formed and shaped us into who we are right now, but we celebrate how real and alive he is right at this very moment. I knew Asbury was where God wanted me, These last 3 years have been some of the best years of my life, but have also been the very hardest years of my life. There have been times where I didn't know how I was going to have enough strength to make it through the next day. I've dealt and struggled with some of the hardest things. In these last few years, I have struggled with identity. Identity of self and how God sees me. I have struggled with feeling inadequate. Struggled with the way that I saw myself. I've struggled with cancer and death in my family. Struggled with relationships, a broken heart, with sickness, with my calling, with loneliness, and with trusting God. I'm constantly reminded that who I am now is who God has transformed me into from my past and the struggles that I have dealt with. As I look at my life now, I look at it from the past 3 years, and the one word that remains so consistent is the word busy. I am constantly busy. I constantly have things going on. And you can ask my roommates, whenever they ask me to go do something for fun, I always say no because I'm always doing homework. But this is how I work. College has made me into a routine person. If I don't have a routine in my life, I shut down, literally. I've been trying to think about who I relate to most in the Bible. And the one woman that sticks out the most to me throughout the four Gospels is Martha. I'm sure you have all heard the story of Mary and Martha, but I just want to explain it to you a little bit. In Luke, we find that Mary and Martha have asked Jesus and his disciples to come over to their house. And you know, Martha is the kitchen woman. She is so busy preparing for Jesus to come and wants to make this great meal. And Mary is all about her some Jesus. She's in the living room and is just trying to soak up Jesus as much as she can. Martha is a big tattletale. She goes into the living room and is like, Jesus, don't you see that I am working so hard at preparing this meal for you and the disciples? And Mary's just sitting there and not doing anything. We find in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 through 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Not only do I feel like Martha and I share some similarities, but I really love the fact that she's a baking woman and she's in the kitchen. I love to bake myself. And just to tell you, a dream that I've had for so long is, does everyone know who Paula Deen is? Everyone loves Paula Deen. She's from the South, a great cook. And it has been my dream to go to her restaurant in Savannah, Georgia. I know that may seem silly, but it's one of my dreams and I wanted to do it. And this summer, I got the chance to go to her restaurant with one of my best friends. Waited about 4 hours to eat in the restaurant, but it was so worth it. So in this way, I feel like I share some similarities in a funny way with Martha, but just for the simple fact that she's the busy one. Martha is seen as the doer, and Mary is seen as the seeker. I do feel like parts of my life relate both to Mary and to Martha. Last summer, I had the chance to go to Nicaragua on an initiative grant I received from Asbury. I spent 2 months living completely out of my comfort zone, coming to a realization that without the Lord's strength, everything would be impossible for me. It is there where I found what having a Mary spirit truly means. In my quiet times with the Lord and through my daily experiences, I found what it meant to truly surrender, to truly depend on Him, to trust Him with everything that I have, to know that He saves me in every situation, and to know that He is always watching me, and that I am to never tire of doing what is right. The Lord has searched my heart, and He knows me from the very depths of my soul. He knows my thoughts, He knows my struggles, He knows my weaknesses, and He knows my strengths. He knows my every need. There is absolutely no way that we can be of this world and follow Him at the same time. What we put into our minds and into our hearts always comes out. My dad is a preacher, and he always preaches in his sermons, garbage in, garbage out. What you are putting into your life will always come out. So as I came back to school last year, after being in Nicaragua for a couple months, I just found myself entering this Martha world again, too busy for my God. A part of me had lost what it was like entering into that Mary spirit, spending daily quality time with my Creator, allowing Him just to love me the way that I was. And as I stand here now, and I look at the past 3 years, I can remember times so clearly where I was in the midst of my struggle and can remember feeling like, God, where are you in the middle of all of this? Where is God in the middle of me feeling inadequate and me feeling ugly or not the right size or not good enough, me feeling completely unhappy with the way that God had made me? Where was God in the middle of my breakup, in the middle of my broken heart, in the middle of me losing someone who meant the world to me? Where was God in the middle of my confusion? Where was God? Where was God when all of my grandparents were diagnosed with cancer? Where was the God that I served in the middle of my hurt? And I tell you, right here and right now, that God was there through every single situation. I know he was there because he had been given me the strength to get through everything that I had gone through, to get through every single day. I found God through scripture, through him reminding me throughout the Psalms that, Brittany, I am your rescuer and I will sustain you. I am your refuge. He was there through the support of my friends and my family, and because he taught me a better understanding of what it meant to trust him, I knew that he was in fact there and that I could trust that he would get me through every situation. With the chapel theme this year being real life, let me just tell you something that real life is not. Real life is not trying to be someone that you are not. Real life is being who God created you to be and living in his truth. God has called each and every one of you to a specific purpose. God has put you here at this very place, at this very time, to give you pieces of your puzzle, to form and shape you into the person that you are called to be by God. You may not understand why you're going through the things that you are, or why you even came to Asbury, but there is a reason, and you must trust God. We must not solely focus on the Martha mentality of doing, but we must seek. We must pursue a Mary spirit. It is during those times that God will work in us and transform us and make us into who we are to be. True brokenness is coming to a place where God can use us like he never has before. It's not a place where you're to dwell and suffer for the things of the past, but if we really claimed who God said we were, we would be a lot more and would be doing a lot more than we are doing now. What are those Martha things in our lives that are distracting us from keeping the main thing the main thing? What is keeping us from the most important thing? And that is just being with Jesus. I am still learning what it means to be like Mary, and I am seeking God and learning what it means to seek him with all that I have. I've tried for so long to do things on my own, and there just comes a point where you can't do it anymore. There comes a point to all that you can do is cry out to God. It is in that moment when you have surrendered and given complete control to God that he takes over and he saves us. I want you all to listen to a song that means so much to me. It's a song that I listened to so much when I was away from home in Nicaragua, and I did have the support of my church, but it was a lot more difficult to find a true worship in a different country. And this song was all that I would listen to just to kind of help me just reconnect with my God. And this song is by Hillsong, and it's called Came to My Rescue. Please listen to the words and trust that when you call on the Lord, he is there. He is your sustainer. He is your rescuer, and he is mighty to save.
Thank you. I think that's such a beautiful song, and it really speaks to our entire spiritual walk. We call and He listens every time. We have His promises in the book. As I was preparing for today, I was told that I should pick a gospel character that related somehow to my spiritual walk. And as much as I wanted to say Peter or Paul, someone that had a huge impact like that, the only person I could think of was Thomas, who was one of the apostles of Jesus. And you may know him as Doubting Thomas, or no one ever remembers his daring when he said, "Let us follow Jesus Christ that we may die with Him as well." And I promise that we didn't collaborate before hearing each other's messages. But it really, what I have to say really speaks to what Brittany has said. And it really speaks to all of our lives today. As I look back at my spiritual walk, I realize that it was marked by a lot of doubts right before God's triumphs. I always seemed to doubt, and then He would prove me wrong with His faithfulness. And I thought this was an appropriate message for today because I think that everyone sitting here, or no one sitting here, can say that they haven't faced that at some point in their lives. For you freshmen, these people down here, 3 years ago, we were sitting up there, and we faced the same thing that y'all did. 3 years ago, we didn't know if we had made the right decision. We were still wondering if we were in the right place. We were still wondering if this was actually God's will for our lives. We were worried about our futures. Some of us were worried about getting that beautiful young lady in our tag group to go out on a date with us this next weekend. And just as an aside, if you don't ask her, she's probably not going to say yes. You miss like 100%. I think the stat is 100% of the pitches that you don't swing at. Of course, going with the baseball analogy, which I really have to do now since we have a baseball team, only the ones that excel have like a 30% success rate. So not much encouragement there. And seniors, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pick on the sophomores and juniors today, but seniors, I'm sitting there with y'all now, and I have the same fears and the same doubts that y'all have today. And what's the future going to look like? A lot of us have a pretty good idea. We think we've got a one-way track, ready to go. However, as Ecclesiastes 9 says, time and chance happen to us all, and we're all subject to the will of God. So we can't be sure. And I started thinking about this concept of this phenomenon of doubt. What causes us to doubt? And it seemed pretty obvious to me that it's because of our human nature. We all know that our nature is to err. And I know there are a lot of theologians out there that y'all say, well, the simple solution is just trust God. That's all you got to do. You won't doubt anymore. Just trust God fully. And I completely agree that is a perfect solution, except for one little problem is the fact that we like to hold on to stuff. We don't seem to like to let go with both hands. We'll let go with one. We might look away, but we still want to have a little bit of control. We still can't trust God that fully. We've all heard the phrase, let go and let God, or give it all to God. Except we've grown up in an egocentric society where our way is always right, our way is the best way. We're taught that we should believe in ourselves, when I think the message should be, we should believe in God. Because I've been believing in myself for a long time, and I know how many mistakes I've made, and I know that God's way is perfect. And when this mentality governs our lives and our actions, we can't fully trust God. And we can't fully trust that the outcome will be as we plan, that it'll be favorable. I'd like to share with you now something that happened to me within the past 6 months. At the end of the last school year, I was asked around mid-April if I would like to participate in a mission trip to Peru, a medical team. And I thought it was an excellent opportunity since that's kind of where I see my life going. So I wanted not to miss this opportunity, but I only had 1 month to get prepared for it. Larry Cochran called me around April 15th. The trip was leaving on the 19th. And if any of y'all ever tried raising funds or getting immunizations, and my passport wasn't even valid, so I had to get that done in a month. And y'all know what kind of headache that can be. But I needed to raise $2,600. And I've been on trips before where it's taken me 6 months to raise $1,000. And so I immediately started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know how I can do it. I don't see how this is going to work out. I don't see how this is going to be possible for me to go on this amazing opportunity. And so I started talking to my father about fundraising, what I can do. And I made a list of people, of contacts that I had that I thought would support me. And I got through reading the list off to him. And he said, well, I don't think you should contact any of them just because of some circumstances we were going through at the time. He didn't feel like it'd be the best thing. And I just got really disconcerted, disheartened at that point. Didn't know what to do. My dad said, I'll make a couple of phone calls. And to make a long story short, about 2 days later and three phone calls later, my dad gets back in touch with me. He says, I've got $5,000 here to send you on that trip. You see, the entire time I was thinking, I can't do this, God. There's no way possible. And the entire time God's been saying to me, I know you can't, but watch me work. Watch me do the wonders. On that trip, part of the travel was about a seven-hour boat ride down the Amazon from Iquitos to Recana. About 3 hours into that trip, our boat broke down. And so here we are floating on the Amazon, and boats usually don't come by too often on that stretch of the river. So here we are floating, and then the boat starts to take on water, and it gets really interesting. And we're looking for God's will in this. We're thinking, oh, we've got deadlines, we've got a schedule, an agenda, and we have to get things done when we get there, and we have to do it tonight. Well, the Lord had other plans for us, in that a ferry came by about 30 minutes after that. And there were about 150 people on this ferry. So as all good missionaries should do on a mission trip, we started handing out tracts and started evangelizing. And at the end of that trip, two people were saved. Two people came to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that day. And the amazing part of that, although that's rather amazing, but what's even better than that, this ferry had a habit of taking these stops every 30 minutes or so at these little villages that we would have just passed right on by if we'd been in our boat. And every time we stopped at a village, someone on that boat would get off with their tract, and we knew that a seed had been planted in that community. The whole time we were thinking, we can't have this setback. We've got an agenda. And God said, I have one too. And it's for these souls to hear my gospel. So, you know, I know about doubt. And I know about God's faithfulness. I feel that doubt is actually the beginning of our faith process. It starts with that because God can then prove us wrong. See, in spite of our doubt, God proves himself faithful. And when we see the wonder of God's sovereignty, then we begin to believe what the scriptures say. My father, who is one of the most godly, most honorable, respectable men that I know, reminds me quite often of verses. His verse this past couple of months has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Aren't those comforting words to hear? The God of the universe, as long as you place your trust in him, he'll guide your path. That's all you got to do is trust him, but trust him completely. And what's even more amazing than that, and I was telling a student here this the other day, as it occurred to me, our God has never faced an opponent that he's not been able to overcome. Whether that opponent is school right now for you, whether it's depression, as Brittany talked, it could be a death in your family. It could be cancer. It could be something you have no control over. But I know someone who does. Now, it could be your future that you're worried about, that you have doubts about. It could be your past, something you might not be able to get over. But the God I serve is one who conquered death. Even the grave couldn't hold him. My God took a man like Moses, who could barely speak to his peers. And he stood before Pharaoh, who was revered as a god, and said, let my people go. And after God had revealed his glory in Egypt, Pharaoh complied. My God is the same God that stood on the bow of a boat and looked the storm in the face and rebuked it, and the winds and the waves stopped. My God is the same God that healed the lame, the blind, the deaf, the mute. My God is the same God that when others regarded leprous people as untouchable, He reached out and touched them and loved and healed them. Do you not think that he could handle whatever you're going through? Do you have that doubt or that fear? So the question really becomes, can you trust that kind of God? And the same God that stood in the fire with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so many years ago, is still standing in the fire with us today. He's right there beside us to pull us out with not a hint of smoke on our clothes or a singed hair on our head. That's the God I serve. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. My God has done the marvelous in the past. He's doing the marvelous today. And he will continue to do the marvelous in the future. And that's my testimony. God can take someone like me, who has his life riddled with mistakes, with bad choices, all these things, and God can use me, and he can use you too in spite of your shortcomings. Whatever you feel is insurmountable, God can use you. God used someone like Rahab, a prostitute. God used Zacchaeus, a tax collector. David was only a shepherd when the Lord called him. Paul, who was responsible for the persecution and murder of many Christians. And look at the evangelist he became. Peter was only a fisherman when he was called, but he dropped his nets and followed Christ and only Christ's word. And all these people have in common one thing, and that's the power of the living God falling upon them and letting them, allowing that power to transform their lives. And I say all that to prove this, that God is still in control in our lives, and God is still sovereign. And most importantly, he's trustworthy. Learn this throughout studying this for this message and throughout my past experiences, that faith, yes, it's the essence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But in terms that relate to our Christian walk, faith is saying, Lord, I give all that I know about myself to all that I know about you. Faith is trusting God's judgment above our own because we know that it'll end up for the best. And until you can do that, the doubt that you have, the fear, the worry, it's going to riddle your life and plague your mind. And I understand your fears and I understand your doubts because I've been there and they're my own. But I also understand the power of a loving God who won't leave us alone. And as the chapel theme is real life, you know, I don't think there's anything more real to life than fear, than doubt, than not knowing what to do. That's a reality for us. But let me tell you how real the power of a living God is. His presence is real in our lives, and his divine guidance is real. So I've been a doubter in the past. My spiritual life has been marked by it almost. What is real to me is the fact that God has silenced my doubt time and time again with his faithfulness. And like Thomas, it took seeing for me to believe, whether it was on that mission trip or any other instance in my life, it took seeing for me to believe. And if you can't trust the word of God, at least trust his acts. I mean, there are instances of his miracles all throughout the scripture and in our lives today. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. That God is sovereign over any circumstance. That no matter what you're going through, it's something that Christ has been through because he was a man just like us. Or a woman. Yeah. But Christ has been there. And God is all powerful. So no matter what you're going through, remember that if you let doubt run your life, then you're going to end up paralyzed with fear. However, if you place your trust fully in a living God, then you have nothing to fear at all. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pray as the band comes up. Please bow with me. Fathers, we come before you today. We just want to acknowledge your grace and acknowledge your power before the entire world. Father, your timing is perfect and your will is perfect. Father, though we might not know what we're doing, we always know that you're in control. Lord, please grant us the humility to give in to your calling, give in to trust in you. Lord, help us to guard our hearts and our minds. Lord, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and we claim that promise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you would touch our hearts. Allow us to see your will in every situation. Allow us to seek your will. And Father, allow us to be the men and women you've called us to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, our perfect Savior. Amen.